go. One, two, one, two, three.
Game on, game on. It's game time. Excellent. Game on, game on. It's game time. Excellent.
Hey!
Hello!
Hello, friends! Hello!
Everybody, we're back again.
Yeah, back. We have to be careful we get DMCA'd because we're just so on perfect pitch.
Oh, no.
I know. You wouldn't know you were. You wouldn't know. Listen to the real thing.
You wouldn't know. This is not the Backstreet Boys. but welcome. I would have got there. Charlie. Hello, Charlie. Let's say hello to a heap of people in chat. Charlie's there. Gamma. Arion. Drop Bear. Menthi. Menthi's there. Little legend. Oh, Nightbot's there. Nightbot.
Hi, Nightbot.
Every single show, Nightbot is here.
The commitment is exceptional.
Oh, incredible.
Oh. So good. So good. Yep. I can't believe his dedication. Their dedication. I don't want to assume their gender.
Arion.
Your boy is 24 and a few short, sweet hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Nico's there. Mackham with the sub early on.
Woo.
Thank you, Macca.
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know.
No idea.
My bottom. Wow, that went down like a fart in a spacesuit.
I was trying to think of some appropriate way I could respond, and it didn't happen.
Hey, guys, really quickly, Voyage to the Sunken City, brand new Hearthstone expansion. Hi, Beastie, you're welcome. We've got this epic giveaway tonight.
So good.
Mm. Yeah.
Cannot believe how much value is in this pack.
Well, look, I got a cheeky little text earlier from Nico, because Nico is one of our core content team, one of our writers, and he has been working closely with Blizzard. He's facilitated this. We've got three of these mega bundles to give away. But he did say, Pete, don't go off-piste and start talking about how much these packs are worth, because he hasn't confirmed. So I'm just going to, I'm just going to say, I know I put what I put on Twitter. May or may not be true, but hey, at the end of the day, you're getting some cool stuff. So shut up. What do you want from me? Jesus.
So how do you enter the giveaway?
Well,
I'm just kidding.
No,
let us know what setting you'd like to see in the next Hearthstone expansion. That's what we're after. Is that in chat tonight?
It is not. There is a message in chat that we will be giving it away that's been going around. Yeah. But yes, we'll be giving this away if you let us know in chat the next setting that you'd like to see for Hearthstone. And there's been some really cool settings. Like, we got the Sunken City at this point, and there's been some Barrens, some Stormwind, Valley, Outland, which kind of sounds like Outback, which I kind of like the idea.
Don't mind it.
Yeah, is it?
A setting is like where the deck of, or the theme of the deck is set, right?
That's
like
it.
The world or the landscape, and have a bit of fun with it, guys. Get creative.
You could say the outhouse.
Yeah, I don't mind the outhouse. Yeah.
Is that Simi? Is it Simi?
Simi Cat.
Sub. Thank you.
Yeah, mate.
49 months.
Yeah, girl. Simi is OG.
Wow. I didn't bring my glasses today, so I was like.
48 months is 4 years. So it is. 4 years and a month.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's love crazy.
And Nico's there too. He said, it's a little fuzzy, but lots of value.
So much value. Mm-hmm. So many values. So rock and roll. And a hype train is close. So we're on Twitter at the moment. We're on Twitch at the moment. And obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, welcome to you as well.
Hello.
Shall we dive right in?
Yes.
I think we think. Let's go to our bloody good games of the week.
Oh, and this week, let's get started.
This week, thanks to, I'm going to say his name wrong, Arklintik.
Arlentrick.
Arlentrick.
So Arlentrick's just joined the team. He's one of our new writers as well.
We've got a few people. They put up a really awesome article about some really great cozy games. So this is the cozy edition for the weekly show.
That's the rain.
Now this one here.
Do you want me to make rain sound effects?
Can you do it?
That's the washing machine on.
Very calm.
That's the washing machine while the rain is coming down.
Wow.
Menthi.
That's really complex.
Link, his son is in hospital. Sorry,
Menthi.
Sending you lots of love, mate. I hope everything is okay. Obviously, chat coming in for support, which is great to see, and we'll see what's going on there. Don't let me interrupt you. Go on.
Well, this is one of my favorite cozy games. It was really hard to pick just one, but if I was to recommend one cozy game to literally anybody, it would definitely be Unpacking.
Today's the first day of winter.
It is. Yeah. I think it's so fitting for tonight's to be, you know, games you can play when you're at home, all rugged up, you know, cup of tea.
Oh, mate, I love it. I honestly
love a good cup of tea.
Like, the best place to be when the cold weather starts to kick in is exactly all of that. Is it home on the couch? Like, even if it's sort of the, like, you know, during the day, shut all the curtains.
Yeah.
Just
complete darkness.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the absolute best.
There's so many reasons I love Unpacking. And the developer called Witchbeam, they're actually based in Brisbane, which is awesome. And I actually got a chance to play and review this before I met you guys, actually. And I absolutely adored it for many reasons. When I first heard about it, because I heard it was a point-and-click game, and I was like, well, I haven't really played a point-and-click kind of game ever. Don't think. Maybe when I was a kid, there was like a Winnie the Pooh game called like Pooh's Honeypot Adventures. And that was like a point-and-click game. And I was like, well, I don't know what to expect from something like this. And basically the concept is you follow the life of this person that you play as from a kid all the way to the adult, and you get to basically unpack all their boxes as they move into new places.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously the kids' bedroom, there's a lot of toys, a lot of colour, lots of fun little bits and pieces. And then obviously I think about here, they're in college, so you can see there's a lot of stationery, a lot of books. And it kind of shows over like a decade or two, you can see the technology start to change as well.
And I'm going to throw this out there. Did you notice that like you could tell what sort of decade each stage of their life is set in? Because like I'm looking at this right now and yes, they're in college, but we're looking at a PC, a tower that's still got the floppy disk. it's still got the CD-ROM drive.
Yep.
It's got a couple of empty, you know, ROM drives that once upon a time you could fill those if you wanted to.
You've got the CD sitting player. Above it.
You got you got a CD player. And I think is that a 3DS?
It kind of looks
on
like
the it looks actually, like a 3DS.
No, it's a Game Boy Advance.
That's what it is. Yes,
an MP3 player or an iPod, like just there too.
I'm going to go with Zune. I reckon it's a Zune.
I don't remember.
You don't remember Zune?
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Nobody else does.
Yeah, no, that's true. Zune. We just have to talk about this really quickly. So Zune was Microsoft's iPod.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was shit.
Actually, you remember at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 where Star-Lord gets given...
Oh, the new... Is that a Zune?
That's a Zune.
Yeah. A Zune is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Unpacking, I feel like, tells a story like without having to explain itself at all. It literally has like no dialogue or anything like that. And something like I won't spoil what I think is a really great story or character development kind of... not reveal, but element in the game by the end of it. But it's just a story that's told really cleverly just through, you know, you can tell so much about this one person through the stuff they're unpacking. And I think that is a testament to anyone's, like, if you're going through anyone's belongings. Like, yeah, like Arion says, like, Sailor Moon. And you could tell, like, their hobbies and their interests kind of evolve over this time. And I think the reason why it is so cozy is, one, there's no timers, so there's no time limit you have to do it by. There's no wrong way to unpack the room. You just have to make sure everything's unpacked. And
so you can put, like, those shoes that have currently been placed in the wardrobe.
Yep.
You can put those... Can you put those anywhere in the room?
Yeah, yeah. You can put them under the bed, I think. You can put them basically anywhere. There's no, like, kind of wrong way to do it because everyone will unpack things differently,
right?
Of course. Like, all the socks and, like, the underwear and stuff, like, you could put them anywhere.
Yep.
You can see they're just folding up the shirts up there. Something really satisfying that I liked is when you start to find like a tall boy or a dresser and you uncover like more compartments and things like that. Like here, so they've opened the wardrobe, but then there's also more drawers in there.
Yeah.
It's just that organization aspect that's really like therapeutic.
Oh, there's some like these. I'm just experiencing watching them put away the clothes in the wardrobe and how the rectangular clothes are just fitting together quite perfectly in the wardrobe.
That's right.
Cathartic.
And can you hear the, I don't know if you can hear the sound, but if you do ever play it,
it's very chill.
It's very like the sound design and even the music is absolutely gorgeous, and I absolutely love this brand, game. They've won so many awards with this as well, and I just think if you're looking for something cozy just to take your time with, unwind with, and the game is super accessible as well. So if you check out the Unpacking official website, they've done a lot in terms of accessibility for things like cognitively, also in terms of audio, or like it's very well made and very well thought out. So this is one I think I'll be going back to for a little bit of relaxation time.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really, and I think anyone can play this too. I don't think there's like any, like I think that's why I also love this game. Like I could give it to anyone and they'd be able to play it.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it my favorite.
I'm really intrigued by the story element that you keep talking about, like following this person's life. Because like that's the thing, isn't it? You're unpacking this person's life as they go.
Yeah.
So not that I want you to give anything away, but I want to play this because I want to see the end game.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a very wholesome type of game as well. Like it's, I don't know, I felt like not, maybe it's some elements or some levels I felt emotional playing because it was just kind of sweet opening the boxes and seeing what they've taken with them. Like you'll see like there might be a toy that you like see that they have in their little kid level and they might still have it when they're older.
Oh, wow.
Little bits like that. Like it's the little details and I think that's like very symbolic with this game is like the little details that you take with you through your life or the things you take with you through your life is kind of what makes you as a person.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to this game that I really, really love and that's my particularly favourite cozy game that I'm going to show you guys this
week.
Very nice. But yeah, if anyone wants to play it, I believe it is available on all platforms digitally. So you can play it on, I think it's now on the PlayStation Store. I think it might still be on Xbox Game Pass. And I think it is on Steam. You can actually download the soundtrack and stuff all separately too. So
there you go.
Enjoy.
Beastie says PC Game Pass.
Oh, PC Game Pass too. Yeah, enjoy, guys. Please, if you do play it, please let me know and let me know what you think.
And I refuse to take back what I said about the Zune Charlie Golf. I refuse, absolutely refuse.
Hey, I do have an important question about this though, because like I do like a little bit of realism in my game. So when I unpack, can I just leave it all in a pile in the middle of the floor?
Not really. So like it will basically when you've kind of like finished or unpacked a room, it will highlight certain items for you that you haven't put away properly yet, I guess.
Ah.
So you couldn't just dump it all at the end of the bed. I'm sorry.
Can we like put the boxes down in the basement or in the attic or something and just not unpack them for 10 years?
Well, it seems like you're describing my place.
I'm asking for a friend.
Let's just never see them again.
I just want to see Strait's classic floor drobe make an appearance.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was still living at home with my parents, I had this lounge chair in my room and when I wanted to use the lounge chair, all the clothes that were on the chair would go on the bed. And when I wanted to go to sleep, it would all go back on the lounge chair. Yeah, it was a multi-purpose zone. Like, things can do more than one thing, people.
Yeah, I think, like, again, there's no right or wrong way to do it. And there is something satisfying about seeing those boxes that you start off with just start to disappear. It feels,
I really like, there's a little thing that I've noticed while we've been watching this, and that is the emptying of the box and the, like in particular the folding of the box. Like if you're somebody who's moved, I've moved half a dozen times in my life. The folding of the box is really it's such a closure moment when you move and when you unpack that box. It's like a saying, all right, I've gone another. So I just really appreciate, to me, this is from someone who's packed and unpacked plenty of times.
I think you're really really like it. Yeah. I even think like little ones might like it too because it's just satisfying. But I think if you watch closely and pay attention to the things that she brings with her and the people she may move in or out with, I think it's a really interesting story that's told.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
What about you, Straight? You want to go next?
Yeah, I will go next because I have a bit of a story with mine because I'm going to show you the game first because it's a nice little puzzle game, March of the Minis. So this is probably one a lesser known Mario title, but
is this actually a Mario title?
Yes. Yeah, I just love it. It's a nice little puzzle game. You control the Marios around. Once you set them walking, they go and they just keep walking, so you can't stop them. There's various things you can do, like they can hit switches. Like this poor guy here, he's going to... Oh, no, he went back in the pipe. Oh. Sorry, I thought he was going to die.
I thought he was going to die.
Me too. but yeah, so, and you do various things. But my story. So I do a YouTube series called Star Wars Playtime where I go back and play old Star Wars games. And I...
series, by the way. Well worth checking out, please.
And I wanted to play a 3DS game. So I've gone and dug out my 3DS, which is the amazing Majora's Mask 3DS, which I've got right here. So beautiful. And I've gone to plug in the game card, and it's not recognizing game cards. Aww. Not recognizing any of them.
Any at all?
And none at all. Like, I even actually, the game I wanted to play was a DS game. Didn't work. Doesn't recognize it. Crashed the DS a couple of times. And so then I found a 3DS game, and it still didn't work. So, I thought that might be the end of it, but as luck would have it, I have some games installed on there already, and one of them is March of the Minis, and I sat down and started playing it, and I remember how much I just like it, like the puzzles going around, trying to get gold stars in each of the levels, and it was just this nice little cozy game that I could just play for forever.
When was this released?
Yes, I don't know.
I'll look for you.
I'm really intrigued by this. This is a Mario game. So this is a legitimate.
This is a made by Nintendo Mario game.
Because it blows my mind. I've never heard of this one before ever in my entire life. And I like to think that I know every Mario game ever.
Is this the first one?
March of the Minis. This one is
the first one.
Yeah, because there was like a platforming game. Mario versus Donkey Kong, where you played as Mario and you had to go around and rescue the minis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like the whole story of this is they're giving away these little Mario toys, and Pauline, who made an appearance in Mario Odyssey, is the person giving them away.
Pauline, as in tall
brunette.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool! I didn't realize she was in a previous game.
Yeah. This is where actually now that I'm looking at it, I don't think this is the game that I was playing, but it's the same series.
Yours might be the newer one because Gamma just said the 3DS one, which is what I just saw, just came out in 2006, 25th of September.
There has been a lot, right. But I thought I was playing March of the Minis, and this is not March of the Minis, but it's like I said, the same series, and it's just a simple little puzzle game. There must be about like three or four of them. And yeah, it's just really cool fun.
If you have been listening to this on the podcast, this is 100% March of the Minis we've been watching the entire time.
Mm. Yes, right? Definitely.
100%. For those of you watching on Twitch right now, no, this is not. Yeah. So 25th of September 2006 was release date. I need to go and find this.
Here's the thing. You might not be able to anymore.
Why?
Because it was only I think it was only available digitally, and they're shutting down the 3DS shop.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah.
So, games preservation people, please, and this is the problem: if you shut down a digital shop front, those games disappear. You don't have them anymore.
Why are we losing all of this great content? It's something for another time, obviously, but and it's something we have sort of briefly mentioned before. But why are we losing all this great content? Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Is this score concept the same in the game that you're playing? So, I'm guessing the gold star is just when you have all the little minis make it to the end? Or
No, it's a score thing. So there's coins to collect.
Okay. So even if you go A to B, if you don't get all the extra bits and pieces, you don't get that. Okay,
that's cool. Right. Yep. And there's cards that you collect in there as well, which unlock a mini game at the end as well.
Oh, cute.
If this is on 3DS, you must be using the stylus to smash things at the moment from what we're looking at. So we're looking at a little mini game called Shy Guy Smash.
where there's half a dozen warp pipes around the edges of the screen and they're popping up sporadically. It's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, and there's bombs popping up as well, but you don't want to tap on the bombs.
Yep.
It ends badly. But same... what was I going to say? But yeah, it is using the stylus. There's... In the actual levels themselves, you're tapping on the Marios to move, make them go. And there's some things like I was showing Stormy on the 3DS before the game. Like part of it is you've got little pink bricks and you can move the bricks around to certain areas. So it's, and there's even like boss fights. So you'll this is the way they normally look. You've got Mario in a little cannon. And you got to shoot him up and hit Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Does anyone miss... Like, I know the Switch has the touch screen and things like that, but there's not so much, like... Unless you're playing, I think, Dr. Kawashiga's brain training. Yeah. I don't think you really need the stylus for anything anymore, but I like kind of what this does. Like, I never, kind of miss this.
I never used to use the stylus much at all. I felt like it was quite a... Again, yes, the brain training game, I played a little bit, but for most games... Mind you, Zelda, I remember playing Spirit Tracks on the 3DS and there was a bit of stylus play in that.
Well, how were you supposed to pet your dogs and Nintendogs then? With your finger?
I never played Nintendogs.
How dare you?
No. Pete not patting the dog.
Oh. Used to have a ranger come around to our house and I'd give him the Nintendogs cartridge.
And he'd take him into the pound.
He would. Yeah. This is crazy. This would be a great game for a bit of cozy action.
It's just a nice little puzzle little game.
Nintendo's done a very good job with their Mario games of running themes, characters, and like music and stuff throughout the entirety of its history, right? So like we saw before the little boss battle that Mario versus DK that we're watching right now, that we were watching just then. At the very beginning of that...
It's really quite reminiscent of the Donkey Kong Jr. games and like...
Well, the original Donkey Kong. I mean, that was the thing. Like, he would pop up to that particular music at the top there and then he'd start smashing the floor, getting the angles done so he could start tossing barrels down at you. And, I mean, really, when you look at it, there's so much lore in Mario that's been carried on through its history. It's great.
Someone asked, is that the Zelda 3DS that you have? But this is the Majora's Mask one, right?
Yeah, the Majora's Mask 3DS. So I'm going to quickly flip back to the other scene. So yes, it's the Majora's Mask one.
With the AC adapter not included.
Yes, that's it. That annoyed me a little bit. But yeah, at the time it was easy to get another AC adapter.
You know what I reckon I have here? Keep talking. Hang on.
Oh, but yeah. But yeah, the story, so like... The first game you played as Mario and had to go and collect the minis, but basically they were selling these minis and Donkey Kong got annoyed that they sold out and he couldn't get any. So that's basically the story, and it's the same story in all the follow-up games. Mario releases a new line of toys, they can't get them out, they sell out, and then Donkey Kong gets annoyed and kidnaps Pauline, and you got to go rescue her. I feel like that's kind of the story of Amiibos as well, except without the giant ape kidnapping people.
Yeah. I can see how you could just get easily, anyone who does know me knows me well and knows that I don't like to lose and I'm quite stubborn and I will, like, continue to play something until I'm, like, about to fall asleep because I like to win. Yeah. But I can see, like, how easy was it to get kind of lost in the puzzles and be like, okay, I want to do the next one.
Yeah, it is ridiculously easy just to get sucked in and to keep going. And especially the early game.
Yeah.
Because the early, like the one I was playing last night is very short.
Yeah.
Because it was just like I think it might have even started on like the DSiWare title sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it's so much fun. And nice and cozy, you just play it. And it's on, like I said, on a DS as well, so you just play it while you're sitting around.
Take it everywhere with you.
Yeah.
I think that's what I love. I feel like most of the cozy games that I've played have either been on my phone or, like, my Switch.
Yeah.
Just because you can just feel cozy anywhere.
That's it. You can be cozy in bed, just sitting there playing the game.
Yeah. I think Ariane is having a fight with the night pot.
Ariane, stop picking on Nightbot.
Hi, Cowboy. How you doing? What's just while we wait for Pete to find this magical item. Oh God!
Can't find it, and he's not happy.
What's everyone's favorite cozy game? Because a close contender I had to unpacking was the, I feel like, I say classic, but it's not that old, but Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be a good show of hands of how many people have lost their hours. Is that it? to Stardew Valley. That was also a very close contender of mine. Was there any other games that you were thinking of?
For me, like, I quite get in, like, when I think of cozy, I think of just, like, sitting down and you can take your time with it, not have to be too rushed. So I'm going to quickly throw out Animal Crossing because that definitely has to be up there. But
yes,
the other one, the other one I was thinking of was actually SimCity on, but particularly the one on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
I loved that game. Like, it was just so barely simple. But it was just, it was so not, like, just chill. Like, and particularly, like, you have the oh, he found it apparently. We're going to see what it is soon. But yeah, you see, you get the, where was my train of thought? He derailed my train of thought.
Oh, you're talking about SimCity?
Oh, yes. Like, the natural disasters you get in there, and, like, one of them is Bowser stomping through yeah, but it was just, it was just so chill. But
sorry, I was going to say, because you just reminded me of even just playing the normal Sims game and just creating a house, that for me was also very cozy.
Even like Minecraft, every time I get in Minecraft, I just start digging south. Oh my God. What have you found, Pete? What have we got here?
Thank you to my little helper. I'm trying to remember what it was.
You found it, didn't you?
So this is the UK Majora's Mask 3D Special Edition.
Oh.
That's the UK version, though. Yeah. Here it is.
Oh.
There you go. There's the... That's the Zelda 25th Anniversary Special Edition 3DS.
Oh, wow.
That's what I was looking for.
That is so cool.
It's amazing.
And I never used the stylus. That's my story. I hope you liked it.
No.
Thank you for coming to your TED Talk.
Yeah.
And you got AR cards in there as well. What would you use the AR cards for in Zelda?
The augmented reality on the, like, you use the camera.
Yeah, no, but like for the Zelda, like, was it special Zelda ones? Do you guys remember?
That's a great question. Well, I don't know.
No, I don't think they were, because all the 3DSs came, like, in my, we're suddenly going to turn into a 3DS stream and you're not going to be able to see anything.
Oh, come on, have a chat.
But yeah, there was, like, there was, I remember there was a balloon game, so we took a photo of faces and then you put it on the balloons and the AR, you had to, like, move around and shoot the balloons down. And it was just so much fun.
There they are. There's the AR cards.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. AR games, augment, keep these in a safe place so you don't lose them. Okay, there you are. So there's a, I don't know if people can see this on the screen. Probably not.
I might have to zoom.
Can we go full screen there? Oh, you're right.
I was watching.
So little yellow packs. I haven't unpacked any of this stuff. Oh. So there's a
question block card. And then it says there's character cards.
It's
got Mario, Link, Kirby, Samus, and a little Pikmin. I was just showing my knowledge.
So what you do is you'd pop them down on the desk like that, and then you'd point your camera at them,
and you'd look at your
3DS, and they pop up.
Oh, that's cool! I don't think I've actually ever used those AR cards on my DS before when I had one. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that was my cozy game of the week. Thanks to Aussie Broadband.
I think Arion said that Terraria is their favorite cozy game. I've never tried Terraria before, actually.
I haven't either, but I've seen people play it.
Terraria is fantastic. Menthonzo plays it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's certainly his style of game. I've never used this. I've never used this 3DS.
Are you gonna
a true collector? But now you've taken it out of its box.
Yeah. What a dickhead.
Well, you haven't actually taken it out of the packaging, and you've got video proof now. So
it kind of feels like I have, to be honest with you.
No. The little thing.
Yeah, you know, I haven't taken out of its fluff wrap. I don't know if that's the actual term, but
that's all right.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're having a knack of using proper not
weird terms,
aren't
we? We only speak for a living here, like, people. We don't need actual proper grammar.
Like when Microsoft tried to make an iPod and called it a Zoom.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? Who calls something a Zoom?
Who throws a Zoom?
Honestly. But what, Pete, we got one left.
Yeah, we haven't done your game yet.
Can I tell you guys, you are in for an absolute treat.
And we get a demo too, right?
We're going to have to swap. Yep. We'll have to swap. All right. Come over here.
Like, no, sorry.
Straight, come over here. There we go. Put it up on the screen.
There we go. It's up there, ready to go.
So I would like to shout out to the good people at Square Enix for sending me over a code to this. Because when the press release came through that this is an actual thing, I was like, yeah! So, I am in the process of selling my house. I'll give you a little backstory. Selling my house at the moment. And to do that, I had to Karcher, which is high pressure clean, all of the driveway. There's a shitload of driveway. It's too much driveway for one house. But anyway, and it was so good. And then this came my way, and it's called Power Wash Simulator. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if ever, like this, the press release came through on like Sunday morning, and I was immediately on, and I was like, guys, you got to give me a code for this. Please send me a code for this. This is the ultimate cozy game of the week. And it's exactly what it says on the box. It's a simulation of using a high-pressure cleaner to clean things.
Please show, because since you mentioned earlier before the show that you were going to show us, been so keen. Also, hi, Sharix.
Hi, Sharix. Welcome. So you've got different career, you've got different modes. You've got career mode, special mode. You know, in special mode, you can see there on the screen that there's the Mars rover, for example. So, you know, you're just off to unique places to do crazy things. It's the special mode is where they've sort of let their imagination run wild. You've got challenge mode. So this is like you've got either a clock or a water limit, and you have to beat your best results. And then you've got free play. So free play is, if you've done jobs before, I'll click on free play. You can see like I've got vehicles there and I've got locations. If you've done jobs before, you can go back and play them. Now, it's also cooperative. 1 to 6 players can get involved. And there's a career mode where you essentially start your own power wash business.
I think I want this.
It's so cool. It is so cool. So let's dive in. I'm going to show you guys how it works. So I've already started the business. I can see, you can see in the career mode that's on the sort of main menu, there's a car there, there's a truck. You've found that truck. It starts you off there and then you power wash the truck and you get it all clean. And then you, you know, congratulations, you've got a truck now, you start your business. And the way that it does is quite clever, actually. It's full of dirt all over the place. And as you're washing it, you reveal the power wash business sign on the side of the truck. And
That's nice.
Like, it's just a moment where you kind of go, oh my God, I'm starting a business here. This is great. You earn money and you can do upgrades. We're going to dive into this. So I earned $150 for the power wash truck and the 5 stars. It's got a star rating system with regards to how you go. So with the truck, for example, when you clean a tire, it goes ding, you've cleaned the whole tire, gives you a little, you know, tick and everything like that, and you got to go through and you do the rest. So let's jump into clean the back garden. You're constantly throughout this game to a degree talking with people. You're getting messages. In this case, Calvin Miller, he's calling me Doc. He's going, you know, I've got to get you over here to come and clean the backyard. $450 is what it's worth. Get stuck into it. You can check some other bits and pieces. Actually shows values for the different things that you clean. So you're in the backyard, you're going to find all sorts of things. You're going to find a birdhouse. When you clean that, you'll earn $3. A doghouse door will give you $1.
This is so much more complex than what I was expecting it to be.
And this is the thing, right? Like I thought, okay, power wash simulator, it's you're just going to, you're going to pick this thing up. You're going to have the one high pressure hose. They'll give you a wall and, or, you know, a few different settings and you'll clean. No, it's very in depth. As a simulator should be, you know, the pond wall is going to pick you up $30. So let's go in there.
Before you start, I just want to say quickly thank you to Arion for the gifted sub to Sharix and also Gamma for another month of subscribing. They've been subscribed for 36 months.
36 months, 3 years.
3 years.
3 years, bro. Well done.
Thank you, guys.
And Sharix, what do we see? Arion has given 8 gift subs in the channel. 8 gift subs. So thank you so much for all of those. Let's start the job.
Let's do it.
See how you can see select nozzle, select soap, refill cleaning liquid.
Wait, there's different soap.
There's different soap.
Oh my God.
Now I haven't actually bought any soap. So here we go. So you like we're starting here now and you've got different nozzles. So you've got a straight
Well, I'm going to find it. Where's the...
Sorry, did I got a straight?
I got a straight.
Hello, hello, I'm here.
No. Hello, straight. So you've got like a just a straight... and you do have to use the different nozzles.
Okay.
Like you do. Because there are there's like things that you come across where the dirt is that stuck on that you need like the straight sort of shooting jet over the flat thing that you can see now.
I just realized you can move around.
Yeah.
I thought, no, okay. So in my mind, when you were talking about the game, I thought it was just going to stick you in front of this one setting and you're just going to move your mouse. But I didn't realize you could actually go around the whole place. And
no, you can, you go around the whole place and you clean everything. And you can crouch down to get to harder to reach places.
Oh wow!
You can go prone, so you can get under tables and stuff like that.
Shut up and take my money.
It's so good. And then like, so you can run around, you can jump, all that sort of stuff. So, we're in front of the fence. Let's clean the fence.
Oh.
I know, right? Like honestly, that's exactly how I felt. So I'm just going to clean this entire fence. Obviously, the flat stream I'm using not quite wide enough. Let's use a wider flat stream to get a little bit more of what's going on there.
Can you overclean stuff?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Because like I've stripped paint off chairs before by using a...
Oh, mate, you and me both. Yeah. You and me both, brother. So we're just cleaning. We're going to clean this.
I like the attention to detail how once it dries, it goes back to that nice proper finish.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's just gone dark. And then I realized it's drying up. That's
so I'm just
going
to continue cleaning this panel.
I missed this one.
Yeah, no, I'm coming back to it. Come back to it. So in the top left corner, see how you can see 2% cleaned? That's the entire yard. See how you can also see fence panel?
Mm.
And there's so think about the health meters on bosses.
Mm.
Right? That's essentially what that is. So you've got a health meter on, or a dirt meter rather, on the fence. There we go. That just blinged up because I just got the fence top. Like it individualizes each every little bit. Like I'm not just cleaning the fence panel. You've got to get the fence top. I just cleaned the fence top. So there we go. Wow. I've got these stones here. I'll give this one a clean. There we go. Let's clean that.
God damn it. I
clean that one. So you can see in the top right hand corner, like it's continuing to add how much money I'm earning as I'm doing this. Every single one of these stones is worth a little something. This stone's a little bit harder to clean than the others, so I'm going to turn it into a jet. There we go. Got it. Let's clean this doghouse.
Weekly show all plays.
Yeah.
All of us individually will play co-op.
Seriously? We have to get onto this.
Yeah. Now, the competitive side of me just obviously wants to turn this into a race.
100%.
But I feel like that takes out of the coziness of it a little bit. So
you see the water bowl? Water bowl itself is like an individual clean. For the dog water, the dog's water.
Now, do you have water, like, do you run out of water at any point?
It doesn't look like I've run out of, well, I've not come across it yet.
Okay.
I can rotate the nozzle.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's exactly how I felt when I found out for the first time. I was like, oh my God.
Like, that's so cool.
So there we go. A bit more of the doghouse. I'm gonna make that a little bit wider so I can get... And obviously, you know, when you do time trials, you know, you're going to have to use things like, you know, wider nozzles as you come through this and clear more of the game.
Natty said...
What did Natty say?
Natty said, can you power wash the papa?
No, the papa's not here. The papa's still in Stormy's 3DS.
Just waiting to be let out.
Or with the Ranger from the one that Pete gave.
Yep, there we go. So dog walls, house cleaned, and this here looks bloody.
What are you going to do about it? What kind of...
See, you can change
kind of
it. See, they call it a loadout. They call it a loadout. You can change your loadout. You can change your clothing.
How are you going to tackle this one?
Yeah, like, it's a great point.
Talk us through the process.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to have a look at my loadout. Got the power washer. That's all I've got at the moment. The stubby gun and the degree. I've got no cleaning liquid. So I haven't earned enough money yet to actually shop for some bits and pieces. But you just, I'm just going to get started on this heap of concrete. So patio edging, you can see that patio edging is there. And then there's patio that's different. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go and do the patio edging first with the wide nozzle, because I know I can just walk around the patio edging and just let loose, guys.
I could just watch you play this all day.
This is what I mean.
I could fall asleep to this. Just a bit of, you know, ASMR.
Patio edging clean, that $8 that hurt me. So there you go. And that's it, guys. That is my cozy, bloody good game of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband.
That's so cool.
I like revealing what's in the, like, beneath the bridge.
I'm going to draw a picture. I knew it was coming.
I did. It would not surprise you to learn that I did that at home on my own driveway.
I feel like, like in real life.
Yeah.
Hang on. Where's the?
And then I thank you. Hello. Thank you. And then I waited for my wife to get home before I finished it.
Look what I did.
I literally waited half an hour for her to get home after I drew it. Without doing any more.
Oh, my God.
So there you go, guys. That is Power Wash Simulator, and it's on Steam at the moment. I'm not 100% sure, but we'll double check once we do the swap back over if it's on consoles and stuff. I hope it is. But, yeah, it's on Steam at the moment, and it is so worth whatever the hell money.
Sir, here is a blank check.
Yeah.
Write on it whatever you feel that this is worth.
Yep. I mean, look at that. Look at it just reveal the bottom of the pond. And see how, okay, so I've gone over there. It's revealing some, but see how there's these really, like, dirty, rusty stains?
Mm.
So we get the jet now. Bang. 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 Bang.
Now, at this stage, I think from what I've read, it's only on PC at the moment. And I don't think there's any plans yet for it to come to console, but, you know, so maybe we can change that.
Oh, I think
maybe
it will.
We have the power to make Power Wash Simulator.
I expect to see this in like tapes and universities and all sorts. So there you go. That's my cozy, bloody good game of the week, guys. Power Wash Simulator. Go awesome. And get it, you bloody legends.
So good. All right.
Let's do the swap.
You happy, Menthy? I hung the headphones up this time.
Oh yeah, I saw that comment too.
What'd you do before?
I just put my headphones on the table.
Oh, Menthy.
Yeah. He gave me shit for, I don't know. why do we stick around? We hang around with him. Friends like, nah, it's all good. All
so
good.
There you go. Thanks, Aussie Broadband. There is the bloody good games of the week, the cozy edition. And if you want to go and see more cozy game suggestions, go and check out Arlentrix. Our story at GameOnOz.com.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. So good.
Moving on, mate.
Oh, you know what I'm still hyped about? We're going to do it at the end of the show, but I'm still hyped about this giveaway we're doing for Hearthstone.
Mm.
Voyage to the Sunken... I did mean to write it down. Voyage to the Sunken City, I'm hoping.
Nico's in there. Nico's like... Out of
the yeah, I know. But the next Hearthstone expansion anyway, and we're, like, towards the end of the day, we're going to ask you guys in chat to just let us know what setting you would like to see in the next Hearthstone expansion.
You got it right.
I did?
Yes.
Well done, buddy. Well done.
I'm good. I don't forget to write things down on my run sheet. And
so yeah. What is the... Remind us what the question is so that the, people need to answer to it. Win.
So at the end of our show tonight, we're going to ask, what setting would you like to see in the next Hearthstone expansion?
Mm-hmm.
So it's... And we went through a few at the beginning about where they are, but there's been like Witchwood, the Frozen Throne, Catacombs. Oh, it's just Mean Streets was one I saw there. Like that doesn't that just sound like an amazing place to go?
I have suggestions, which we'll get to at the end of the show.
Okay.
I want to see some really. Yep. I want to see some really stock standard settings.
Yeah, and remember to win, you have to follow us here on Twitch. And we're going to pick the best answer. But we'll do that at the end of the towards the end of the show.
One more time, do they type it in chat? Is that where
they
we
will,
need it?
They will type it in chat.
When we ask.
When we ask.
When we ask.
And that's right.
What is the exact items in the giveaway as
oh,
well?
Oh, so many items.
Just to clarify how good it is.
It's this big, huge mega pack. There's like 80 packs for Voyage to the Sunken City in there, 5 gold packs. There's a Queen, Ashara, Mage, Skin, as well as a card back, the Mercenary packs. There's Battleground perks until the next expansion. It is just, it is ridiculously stacked.
And you might be someone who's been sitting there thinking to yourself, man, I've got these normal Battlegrounds attack that I've just wanted to replace for so long, like so long, just sitting there looking at your normal Battlegrounds attack. Bombardment, Battlegrounds finisher to replace them. Oh my God.
So
oh,
good.
Jesus
there
Christ.
Is a buttload of stuff here.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. No, I said that earlier. I got in trouble because someone was repeating it.
Oh, no.
It was me, wasn't it?
What? No, was it? Oh, I said buttload. I said the word buttload. Yeah, my daughter's, just for full disclosure, my daughter's here. Hi, honey.
Hi.
We don't say those words, do we? Nope.
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 Good.
Good.
Yes. Please keep an eye out for that towards the end of the show. But we've got a couple of other things to talk about first. I think I'm going to throw to the fun one first, Pete, because I did have the heavier one next. But let's talk about this game anniversary that's happened.
Yes.
Yeah, so happy 32nd birthday to one of the OGs of games. And I'm talking about Solitaire. Solitaire, one of the great card games of our generation. Of every generation preceding that generation and every generation to come ahead of that generation. Solitaire for me, guys, was, you know, was in amongst the slew of games on my first ever Windows 95 PC. It was there. It was like a good friend. It was like a, you know how with the Stormy, you're probably a bit too young to remember this, but the Nokia 30, was it the 5110 straight?
Yeah, the 5110.
Was that the brick?
There was the 5110, which was the sort of longer black one, and then the 3310 was the bluish, smaller one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm getting a picture.
I must
5110.
5110.
Oh, my mum had one of these.
Yeah, so
I do remember.
I had one of those, and there were two incredible things that you could rely on with regards to them. One was they had interchangeable front cases.
Yes, yep. So, I remember that.
I had the Italian flag because we were wogs. And the other one was they all came with Snake.
Yes.
Right, and that was my first foray into mobile gaming. So playing Snake on the toilet with that thing. And so like that, you could always rely on the fact that Windows always came with Solitaire and it came with Minesweeper.
And to a lesser extent, Free Cell.
Yeah, but Free Cell. Who played Free Cell?
What's Free Cell?
Actually, my dad
exactly.
did it.
Exactly, Stormy.
My dad
exactly.
did it, but yeah, it was a harder game than
Can
the
Can you tell me what Free Cell is?
So Free Cell dealt out, I think it was 2 or 3 packs of cards, like all face up. And the idea was you had to get all the cards of the same
suit
in order up in like they had a four card slots up there, but the trick was to get to the cards below it, you had to move them up. So there was another set of four card placement bits there, but to get to a card down, you could move a card up.
This is what I mean.
Yeah,
what was Free Cell?
I zoned out. Okay. I lost you. I lost you after the suits.
I love you, man. Hey, thanks Reflex for the raid, by the way.
Thanks, Reflex.
Hello to your wonderful viewers who are joining us. And the other thing was like pinball came afterwards as well. I think Windows 98 brought with it pinball.
Yeah, I
played
a lot of pinball.
Was it 98 or was it? No, it must have been 98.
Maybe it was XP?
I think it was
Windows XP? Was that the name of it? Jesus Christ.
Because there was XP came after 98 as well as all those weird ones like 10,000 and Millennium. And
who had Windows 2000?
Not me. It was the Windows 8 of its time.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, Windows 98 is what you stuck to because everything else that came after it for a while was shit.
It's not good.
But I'm trying to remember. I mean, Christ, that was 20... I mean, 98 was 24 years ago, guys.
Would you like some history about Solitaire and Minesweeper.
Yes, please. Yes.
This is something I picked up, one of those useless facts that are stuck in my brain, because Solitaire and Minesweeper, and I'm not sure about FreeSol, but definitely Solitaire and Minesweeper were on Windows 3.11. So this was the first GUI interface, so graphical user interface, that people had. Before then it was DOS and all command line stuff.
Are you Googling that?
No, right I'm now? Not. I'm
She's
not, fact-checking
me, which is good. You should always fact-check.
Are you WhatsApping Charlie Golf? Yeah.
No, I'm just that's what I'm checking just in case. I'll quickly run down.
In case he comes here.
But it basically they were introduced as well to help users get used to a mouse, because before then it was DOS and you were just typing. You had no mouse involved in it. And so when they introduced it, Solitaire taught users about double clicking and clicking and dragging, and Minesweeper was about left and right clicking, because you right clicked on a square to mark it as a mine.
Well, I didn't realize that was what it was kind of there for. Now that you say it, it seems so logical.
Mm.
But yeah, that's really cool. So I remember my mum teaching me Solitaire on the computer. And maybe that's where my itch for being competitive and wanting to win came from, because, I could not understand Minesweeper.
Solitaire now is lit. Is that
no,
Ternoir? Hello, Ternoir. Welcome.
Hello.
I don't like new Solitaire and Minesweeper. I just like the simple.
What's
one.
New Solitaire?
Well,
though?
If you have a look on the because
I think I've got think it.
As
I mean,
of,
if you have a look through there straight, I think I've got it.
Yeah, as of Windows 8, they stopped putting on Solitaire and Minesweeper, and you had to go to the Windows Store to get. And I think the Solitaire is in.
I've got it on
X. Here we go. I think it's in here.
Yes, it is in there. Yes, oh. It is. Yeah. Yep.
So it's under the Xbox app. Come on, just get rid of that. Solitaire.
There it is, Microsoft Solitaire Collection.
And it's a lot more complex, and it has like all the daily stuff that you need to do. And it's not just your normal Solitaire. It's like the pyramid one. Because I think they call pyramid. What we would call Solitaire, Klondike Solitaire. Because all these, what just happened there?
It's drunk.
It is drunk. Go home, Windows,
you're drunk.
So yeah, so this Klondike is the classic Solitaire, mm-hmm. and then there's Spider Solitaire, FreeSol, and the Pyramid and Tripic. So it's a lot busier than what it was, right. And the Minesweeper one is like this as well.
Different versions of.
Yeah, I just want my good old classic Minesweeper and Solitaire. I'm an old man and I'm shaking my fist angrily at a cloud.
Yep.
Oh look, Minesweeper's down there too.
Yeah, it is. Yep. So there you go. 32 years today. Mm. On this day, this very day, excuse me, the 1st of June, the first day of winter, 32 years to the day for Solitaire. And we thank you for all of the hard work you put in for all of us trying to learn mice.
Happy birthday, Solitaire.
Happy birthday, Solitaire.
So good. And there was another thing that popped up during the week that it's a little bit heavier, and I must admit there was an article that prompted this. It took a lot of reading for me, but it's something that I'm fairly interested in, because I don't know why it's this complex. And we're talking about music licensing for games. So we're not talking about just like music soundtracks. We're talking about games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band and Tony Hawk that all have those songs in there that, and like Tony Hawk in particular, and another extent for a recent game, Guardians of the Galaxy, that game is not as good if you don't have that licensed music in there.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is what sucks, right? Like, broadcasting this on Twitch right now, we can't bring up any of those soundtracks, right? We can't play any of them, which sucks so much. But I remember playing Wipeout on the original PlayStation and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And I, like, for them to turn around and bring back, like remade versions and so on and so forth, which apparently has been so much harder, which I know you'll get to straight. But like for me, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater without Lights Out, Guerrilla Radio, turn that shit up, Lights Out, like that. That was actually an introduction to that sort of music for me. Mm. Like I found that music through Tony Hawk's, and at the same time, Tony Hawk's was elevated in terms of the feeling of the game thanks to that music.
Yeah. And it's crazy how complex music licensing is, because it's not just about paying the artist. It's about paying the writer and just everybody else in there. And it, you don't just buy a license and get the song. Like, if you put it in a game, you got reproduction rights. If you want the actual song, you need to license the copy of that particular song, which is why in a lot of the early Guitar Hero games, you'll get a song as made famous by, because they've secured the rights to the song but not to the original recording.
Right.
Mm. So they've been able to remake the song and record it with new artists but haven't been able to get the original track.
Sorry, it's, excuse me for 1 second. I'll be right back.
No, you're right. Is Charlie Golf here? Yeah. Oi, I noticed he hasn't been chatting in chat for a little while.
But yeah, and it boggles my mind. And even on a lesser scale, so I'm involved in a community hockey club here in Perth, and we have to get a music license for our club to be able to play license in there. And up until 2 years ago, we actually needed two licenses, one to pay the artist that performs and the other for the writer of the song. And they rolled into one. I think they're called One Music now or something.
It makes it difficult, right? Like it does make it difficult, complicated, a lot of hoops to jump through. Mm. I mean, As a radio broadcaster, I get it, because I've spoken to many an artist. Mm. I mean, one of the most recent one is Dreams, Jolly and Petch and Regan, and it's that one where it's the remix of God. Oh. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dreams,
right?
By Fleetwood Mac,
right? Yeah. Exactly, Fleetwood Mac, Dreams. And like, you know, like she's on there, so there's some royalties that should go to her. Jolly and Petch, you know, royalties to him. And you know, other various royalties that, you know, even flow back to Fleetwood Mac and the use of the game and the licensing of it and all that sort of stuff. And I get it. Everybody along the creative process deserves their little bit in their pocket. However, it is full of red tape. It is full of hoops to jump through. And it does put a big brick wall up in terms of making it easy to get these into games, into pop culture, further into things like being able to, just the pure fact of like being able to stream that stuff.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we, like in 2022, we can't jump on, we can muck around on YouTube, like we can go and watch all that shit on YouTube. Well, in 2022, we can't jump on Twitch. And for me, it's obviously something that Twitch needs to sort out at some point. I don't know if they've sort of looked at it, because, and again, this is coming back to something that I'd love to have a good look at it. But if Twitch is gone, we're just not going to put it into our business. Like we're not paying for those royalties and those licenses.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I after they close Twitch things, I don't think they're interested in anything like that for music. But in terms of getting them into games, it is incredibly hard. And when you look at things like remakes and remasters, like the thing that made Tony Hawk, apart from the skating, is the soundtrack. It is an iconic soundtrack. And when it came to the remaster, if you cannot secure those songs, if the game startup screen does not boot up with the same song, people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like I'm about to mention something that kind of, I guess, branches off of that. I'm not sure if you've mentioned it while I disappeared, but, you know, it's hard when there are games out there that have the music such an integral part of its, like, identity that you can't stream, for example, like, you know, as streamers like ourselves and we want to play games, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy. In some instances, I think like Guardians did, they do have like their own music you can play, but it just doesn't have that same punch. It doesn't have that same feel. And then, you know, if we're talking about games like Just Dance or Rocksmith, Rock Band, Guitar Hero, like it's a really difficult thing to try and navigate. And I think, like, in one hand, it would be fantastic for people to be promoting those games more with the ability to do so without having those restrictions and legalities and stuff in place. But, of course, those musicians and artists and stuff need to get paid appropriately too. So
I think it is starting to sort of come around to that a bit more, where people are getting perpetual licenses because they realise that if their game makes it big, they might want to re-release it down the track, or even if they might want to put it on different platforms, they'll just get that perpetual license, and that way they'll be able to do more with it later on down the track. But it does get quite restrictive, because like then the video game companies, this is all in the article that I found on, I think it was gamesindustry.biz, and the negotiations with the music license holders is all about How big do we expect this game to be? And
those are questions you can't answer.
No.
Yeah. You can't answer those until the end of it.
Yeah.
But that impacts on the cost that you get it. And, like, if you're talking about, like, a AAA game, then I guess, you're probably expecting that that's going to sell a lot of copies.
The one for me that this hurts the most is two. It's the streamers.
Yes.
And it's the players of the remakes down the track if you can't get it across the line. And it's as simple as that. And, you'll never... the end user will never win the argument of just get it done.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, there's too many people to pay along the creative process. That's the thing.
Yeah. And, the streaming side of things, I think, is a different kettle of fish. And I know Streamaholics has talked about that a number of different times on their show on Friday nights here at Game On Oz. But getting it in the video games, it's hard because there is so many different little legal ramifications and even just different licenses that you get and knowing which one to get. And one little slip up in that you don't get the right license and all of a sudden you don't have it 10 years down the track.
Yeah. It's a really interesting thing to see if this will evolve later on down the track.
Yeah.
And what may or may not change. But I guess it's just a bit of a waiting and see kind of situation.
We've got an interesting thing when it comes to licensing that we've seen over the past week, and that is like at some point, you know, the whole ownership of license disappears, and that's happening with Disney and Winnie the Pooh. And the fact that now that's just basically open. You know, you can't register the rights to it. You can't own the rights to it. Disney doesn't even. And so we're gonna get that Winnie the Pooh. Horror film.
Slasher thing.
Yeah, that slasher film. Yeah. So I don't know. It's probably 100 years for us, guys. We're all dead and gone by then.
Well, I think it's
somebody else's problem.
What an existential crisis to have right in the middle of this podcast.
No, but it's an interesting thing because the whole copyright thing, I think, was only supposed to last about 50 years and then it's supposed to enter public domain. But Disney is the reason that people have held on to it for so long because they've kept the trademarks for Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse is to blame for why licenses move around so much.
Mate, Mickey Mouse is to blame for a lot of things that are terrible in this world as far as I'm concerned. That mouse has things.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. It'll get us in trouble.
It's going to get so off track.
I'm going to shut up now because that was not going to be a good one.
Because there's a 6-year-old sitting.
No,
about 3 meters from us.
It was more about a certain country that might start getting us censored, but we'll.
This is it. Waging war from our little place in Canning Vale.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, it is an interesting, and I think this article was well worth the read just with how in depth it is and how the biggest studios like EA they were talking with Laurie Cromwell Charon from EA, who's a senior associate that deals with all this for them. So that's quite a high title that you have to go through to get all this music licensing, and the fact that it is so complex that you need someone specialized to be able to deal with it.
Can I just say just before we move on that Charlie Golf, who's in chat, is about like 10 feet away from us at the moment and still dropping bombs like mess with the mouse, he buys your house. That's epic, bro. You could just be shouting that stuff, but the fact that you want the entire community to read it, I love you, man. all right, what are we doing?
I think we're going
to do this giveaway?
I think we should. So for those who weren't around earlier, we are doing a giveaway for Voyage to the Sunken City.
That's our music for giveaways.
So cool.
It might be. I don't know if it is.
It is now. What we're going to do, we want people in chat. You need to be following us on Twitch to start with.
Follow.
Hit that follow button. Smash it.
Are you following? He has no idea.
No.
Your missus is on the show. She's literally standing 10 feet away from
really
you. You have no idea.
Need to follow.
He's too busy sure telling Chad he's got zero lag because he's
not
in the studio.
You.
Follow me, please.
Us.
What a legend.
So we are giving away a big pack to celebrate the launch of Voyage to the Sunken City. And we want to know from you guys, what setting would you like to see for the next Hearthstone expansion release?
So, all right, drop them in chat.
That's it. Hit them in chat.
There's 26 people in there.
We're going to pick the best one that we think, and I've got a piece of paper so I can write it down because otherwise I'm going to forget.
I want Charlie Golf to pick.
Yeah.
I think he's typing.
He's typing. He's got one. Hearthstone Gwent edition.
All right. Gwent.
I don't think that's possible.
Okay, you're not allowed to pick anymore.
No.
You're throwing up bombs like that. You're not allowed to pick. I don't trust you.
We've revoked your special privileges on the stream.
Resonance dropping bomb. This is what I was hoping for,
oh,
right?
Oh, no.
Resonance with Costco. I think that's great. Northbridge on a Friday night, Sharex. Sharex, let us remind you, this is a national/global show. So,
and they've already done Mean Streets.
Very good point. Disneyland by the Xbox Cowboy. I don't mind that. Hearthstone, Winnie the Pooh edition. We have been talking about Winnie the Pooh tonight, which is cool.
Can I get the number of? Okay, sorry.
Right. Okay, sure.
We'll let you know, Nico.
I get the number of entries we get in afterwards, please. Absolutely.
CN Resonance said Costco.
Yeah.
Did we say that one already?
I like Costco. Hearthstone.
Natty said Hearthstone Nintendo.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
And then Sharon said anywhere downtown on a Friday night.
Downtown. Hearthstone Armadale. Again. Fantastic. Just sink the boots into there, Charlie. Love how I am the only on-franchise option, Menthonzo.
Emerald Nightmare, without a doubt.
Gamma's given a plus one to Raven Sky's Costco. Actually, no, he's just talking about the fact that Costco is amazing.
Oh, a Game on Oz expansion.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Go expansion. What do you guys think? What would you like to see?
I kind of like, and I'm going to be biased, but
while you say that, I just want to see.
I really like the idea of a Outback Australia, like just sort of that vibe. You know, just like red dirt everywhere.
That is a great suggestion.
Like, I don't know if I would say to have a, like, proper name for one, but, like, inspired by, like an Aussie one. Like, that's
yeah, but cool. I'm talking about, like, red dirt far north Australia. Yeah.
Hearthstone Street.
How long are we giving? How long are we giving to this?
I'm quietly writing things down, so...
Yeah.
Is my handwriting that bad?
No. Hearthstone Wolf Creek.
Ooh.
It's not bad.
I do like that one.
Don't mind that. Any others? I reckon we've sort of like got real estate edition. All cards cost 10 man crystals. 10 man crystals?
Oh, mana. Laugh track.
Oh, mana.
You're like, man crystals?
Well, it says man crystals. It doesn't say mana. It says man crystals.
Or Hearthstone Pengu, as in like Pengu, Teamfight Tactics Pengu.
Meep, meep.
No, that's Pengu.
What?
Pengu's...
Oh, is Pengu a different Pengu?
Yeah.
Pengu's not... Oh, of course.
No, Pengu. Listen to me. You need to sort out your... That's Pengu. No,
Pengu.
No,
P-I-N-G-U.
Okay. That is...
That's Pengu.
No.
That better be Pengu. It is Penguin. Nay, it's Penguin.
You need to back me up.
P-E-N-G-U is the bloody... That's the one.
Tell me you've watched Pengu without telling me you've watched
it. That is Pengu.
Oh, God.
Clip that, boys. Get on that. That is Pengu.
What do you reckon for that one?
Should we go to a different screen while we like? Let's figure it out.
Let's huddle. Let's huddle.
Yeah, huddle, guys.
Hold on.
That one. You like that one? Don't say it out loud.
How good are the microphones?
Yeah, no, I like that. I do like that. There's something about that one. I think that it's very open. Mm. No, you're not feeling it?
No. I like that. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just reading the others.
Yeah.
What's that one?
Oh. Yeah, I like this one. I think that's on the right one. All right.
Cool.
All right. I am okay. Thank you, Menthonzo.
So we have a winner.
We have a winner.
And the winner is.
Hang on. I think I've got a drum roll. No, that's not it.
No, that's not it. No, that's not it. No, that's not it. I don't have a drum roll.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, drum roll. The winner is Resonance with Costco.
Costco! Yay! Sensational.
So we will be in touch, Resonance. We know we hang around in our Discord, and we will get you that prize pack.
Daz.
Yeah, I saw Daz's comment. Where's that band? Where's the band? Mate, if you listen to the radio show of a morning, Daz, you will get a good understanding that I have no idea what the buttons do. No idea.
That is why our tech issues command is something's gone wrong. Please wait while Pete presses all the buttons.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Okay. But don't forget as well, if you missed out, we've still got two more of these packs to give away.
Two.
We're going to give one away in our Discord and one away on Twitter. So pay attention to those sources and you'll find out soon when that's going
to
happen.
Oh, and God. If you know anyone that would might like to win this amazing prize, we've also got an article up on the website that you can share with your friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they would like to win as well.
GameOnOz.com, baby.
You know where to go.
That's it. So good.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Also goodbye music.
It's all-purpose music.
Yep. No, not .au. Sorry, 70. It turns out that Game on Oz is such a... what's the word for it? Such a... ambiguous, unique, probably terrible... a web URL that nobody else took it, so we were able to get .com. And in fact, like a lot of people mistake it for Game Anus. So, yeah.
Are we back to buttload again?
I'm not joking. I was in the lobby for for Modern Warfare 3 multis a long time ago. I was playing as Game on Oz, and some bloke got in there and goes, "What's Game Anus?" I was like, "Mate, I don't know." Anyway, it was was about 2 years into us having started this like org, and it was at that point that I probably thought we made a mistake.
at least it's not Susan Album Party.
Susan Album Party?
Yeah, have you seen that meme? Like that was like when Susan Boyle
just put it in.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly, yeah.
Sus anal bum party.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Nico, we're on the same length. It's when Susan Boyle was going mad and like Britain's Got Talent and stuff like that. That was the hashtag.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Hashtag sus anal bum party.
Yep. But anyway, that is it for us tonight. Thank you so much for watching. We've just broken Pete, so now's a good time to end, I think.
No, sorry, if you go and check out, because you've just reminded me, if you go and check out... Google Jeopardy, Saturday Night Live, and the one with Sean Connery.
Oh.
Yeah, because he does that. Like, they go through, and there's the different topics, and Will Ferrell's the one who's playing Alex Trebek, who's the host, and he's going through topics. He's like, would you like this, would you like this, would you like an album party? And then Sean Connery, whoever's playing it, comes in and is like, I'll take anal bum party for $500. I was... very high at the time, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So go and check it out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't say that out loud, so yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. That's it. Definitely didn't. I didn't hear you say anything like that. No.
It's natural. It's great. What'd
you say?
I didn't say anything.
Exactly.
All right, we're pissing off.
That's it. Yep. But stick around for Nuts and Bolts. We'll be doing that very shortly after a little quick break while we get set up. But
thank you to Aussie Broadband for their ongoing support.
Thank you, Aussie Broadband.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening, and love you. Mwah.
Bye.
Game on, legends.
Yes.
You have found us. You are here. You are watching our shit. Sorry. Yeah. No, look, if for some ungodly reason you do really love it, click subscribe. It means that you get notifications and stuff when we upload more of this gear. So, yeah. That's really it.
We have a heap of stuff going up all the time.
Yeah.
So make sure you don't want to miss any of it.
I mean, it won't put food on the table. We get that. it's not going to earn you money watching our things. It'll earn us money. We're not even monetized yet.
No, we're not. That's how bad it is.
But I don't know, mate. Just do us a solid, I guess.
Please.
Cheers.